Today's Shir Masechta Gittin Daf Nun Hei. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph at the Mishnah towards the top of Amud. Says the Mishnah, Hey, Rav Yochanan ben Gogoida. Rav Yochanan ben Gogoida taught us our chareshes. A woman who is a chareshes is a woman who can't hear or speak. That as far as the Aloch is concerned, she's considered a woman who doesn't have das. She's siavia, that her father married her off. And since her father married her off while she was a ketana, a father has a right to marry off a daughter. When a father marries off his daughter, a ketana, the kedusha, deraisa. So even though this woman has a full-fledged kedushin, even though she's unfortunately a chareshes, the halacha is her kedushin is a full-fledged kedushin because her father married her off. She yotze beget. She's still a candidate for a get. And as Rashi explains, certainly if her kedushin had taken place when she was a gedoyla, so there her father no longer has the right to marry her off. So she will only marry herself off. So that kedushin will only be a kedushe derabanan. And since that kedushin will be only kedusha derabanan, so there certainly a get would be valid because the whole kedushin was only derabanan. The chiddush of our Mishnah is that even when she had a kedushin with the raisa, because it was her father married her off, it doesn't make a difference. She's still a candidate for a get. And the way to understand the Mishnah is because we do not need midaraisa, the consent of the wife, for a get. So since midaraisa, we don't need the wife's consent for a get, the get is a valid get. We're going to learn a mitzvah shem. We've learned, and we're going to learn, that a woman who's a shaita cannot be divorced. There's a difference between a shaita and a chareshes. Because the reason why a get to a woman who unfortunately is a shaita is not considered a valid get, because she's a woman who's mishalcha, that when you send her away, v'chayzeres, she keeps on coming back. And such a get is not a valid get. A chareshes, even though, as we just identified, is unfortunately a woman that doesn't have a get, doesn't have das, but even though she unfortunately doesn't have das, she's still a woman that is not in the category of mishalcha v'chayzeres, that when you send her away, when you divorce her, she'll come back. And therefore, such a woman's get is a valid get. Another edus that Rabbi Yochanan ben Gogoida offered, a ketana bas Yisrael. We have a ketana who's a bas Yisrael, who unfortunately lost her father. And the halacha is that the raisa, the only one that can be mekadosh a ketana, that can marry off a ketana, is her father. So this woman is married, got married a kedusha drabonin. Her mother, her brothers were the ones that marry her off. Shenissus l'kayin, and they marry her off to a kayin. So the kedushin are, as we just explained, only a kedusha drabonin. The halacha is a chelas b'truma. She could eat truma, but the only truma she could eat is truma derabanan. Because something which is truma midaraisa, she would not be allowed to eat. Because truma deraisa, you have to be a full-fledged wife. And as we just finished explaining, this kedushin is only a kedusha derabanan. So she only eats truma derabanan. And mesa, if she dies, bal yosheh. Even though, as we just said, the husband is only a kedusha drabanan, still Chazal instituted that the husband will yashin her just like any husband yashins his wife. And the reason Chazal made this rule is because otherwise men will not want to marry such a girl. So because of that, the halach is that she's allowed to eat that truma. Of course, the question, the husband, like any couple, will be the one that will yashin her. Of course, the question is, if the kedushin is not a kedushin deraisa, how do we allow her to eat truma? If she's really not married to the kohen, how is she allowed to eat the truma? Says the Rishonim, that A, we're speaking about Truma Drabbanan, and two, that we're not obligated, we're not allowed to have a cotton do something which is usur when the cotton is doing something which is usur on our behalf. Here, the cotton isn't doing something which is usur on our behalf. What the cotton is doing, which is usur, is something that's on his behalf. Since it's something that's being done for the benefit of this ketana, something that's being done for the benefit of the ketana, there is no halacha that we have to stop her from eating it. Amresh, and one more thing, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadda instituted, was Meresh HaGozel. If somebody stole a beam, a bona bebira, and it was built into the house, the halacha is that you can't demand from the person who stole that beam, we don't demand that he return the beam. And what will be satisfactory is yitel domav, that we should just return the value of the beam. Neitakonas hashavim. We want to encourage people to do tshuva. And the way we encourage people to do tshuva is by making it easy for them to do tshuva. And we're going to make this person return, demolish his home to give back the beam. People are not going to want to do so. Achatas gezula. And one more thing that was instituted was a chattas gezula. If somebody stole a chattas, shleinoidel rabim, that people aren't aware that this animal was a stolen animal, she mechaperes, that the halacha is that it'll be satisfactory, and you don't have to bring another kamechattas. And the reason this was instituted was when a tekanas mizbeach, what that means we'll speak in the Gemara. Begins the Gemara Amarava. Based on what Rabbi Yochanan ben Gadda taught us, Amala Edom, if a husband said to Edom, not in his wife's presence, and again, as we discussed when we learned the Mishnah, Midaraisa, one does not need the wife's consent to get divorced. And he says to Edom, look at this get that I'm giving to my wife. The Chazva Amala, then when he gave the get to the wife, he said, he told her that this get that I'm giving, that this document that I'm giving you is a document, a loan document. And he did not disclose that it's really a get. The halacha is harezu megreshes. She's still halachically divorced. Says the Gemara, why? What's the proof? Haven't we learned from Yochanan ben Gadda in our Mishnah that shloi binan data, that we don't need the wife's consent to the divorce? We could divorce a chareshes, even though she doesn't have das. It's obvious that das is not required. Hachanami, Levin and Datu, we don't need her consent. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, what is the chiddush here? Obviously, we know that Midaraisa, we don't need to have her consent. Answers the Gemara, Madatema, one would consider the Kivan, the Omer Kinsishtar Chavze, that when he actually gave it a get, was he said kinsi shtar chavzeh. What he meant to say was betulei batli, that he's abolishing the get. And as we learned earlier in the Masechta on Daf Lamed Beis, a husband does have the right, even after he wrote the get, tamim mevatel get. Kamash Malon teaches us the Gemara im is the batli. If that was what he wanted to do, le'edim hava av malu, he would have told the edim that I'm the being mevatel the get, because they're the primary players in the get. V'ada kamahachi, the only reason he said this to his wife, instead of telling her, I'm giving you a get, he said, I'm giving you the shter chayv, it's only mishum the ksufa, he was embarrassed to tell her to her face, I'm divorcing you, so he said it in such a manner. We learned further that a ketana bas Yisrael that marries a koyin is allowed to eat truma. V'ila chareshes, but says the Gemara, the Mishnah is, we have to follow the Mishnah very carefully. The Mishnah started with a Kedushah Chareshes, and then it switched over to Kedushah Tana. Why did the Mishnah teach us by Kedushah Tana this halacha, that if she marries a kohen, she eats Truma Derabanan, but not by the case of Chareshes? Is to teach us that by the Tana, who has a Kedushah Derabanan, we allow her to eat Truma Derabanan, but not by the Chareshes. So ask the Gemara, why are we stricter by the Chareshes? Answers the Gemara, the Chazal made a Gzeira, G'shem Yachal Cheresh B'Chareshes. The halacha is that Chazal were concerned that if we're going to allow a chereshes who's married to a kohen to eat truma, the kohen, who's a cheresh, will give his wife, who's also a chereshes, to eat the truma. So ask the Gemara for leichel. Why should that bother us? Even if we'll say that the kedushin are not a full-fledged kedushin, because he and she are both chereshim, and therefore we'll suggest that the kedushin are not a valid kedushin, still nothing terrible is happening here, because as we explained in the Mishnah, this is a situation of katan oichel nevelasu. The chereshes is not mechuyev mitzvahs, is not oivar averis. So even if she'll eat truma, it's not a big deal. Answers the Gemara, Gzeiro, we're concerned, shem yachel cheresh bepikachas. If a woman who's a pikachas married an individual who's a cheresh, so that kedushin are only a kedusha derabbanan. But she is a pikachas. She's mechuyev b'mitzvahs. And since she's mechuyev b'mitzvahs, and not allowed to do averus, since her marriage is not a real marriage, midaraisa, she's not allowed to eat truma, and we can't use here the concept of katan oichel nevelus. So ask the Gemara, even if a pikachas married a cheresh, lech b'truma derabbanan, we should allow her to eat truma derabbanan. Because since the kedusha not kedusha derabbanan, she should be allowed to eat truma derabbanan. And the definition of truma derabbanan is truma from all fruits and vegetables. The only produce Rashi holds that is mechuyev and truma mederaisa are dogon, grain, tirosh, are grapes, v'yitzer, and olives. So if that's the case, why are we still not allowing her? Even if we'll have a situation where pikachas married a cheresh, it shouldn't be so terrible. Answers the Gemara. The concern here is shema asa l'chula b'truma deraisa. They may come to eat truma deraisa, which, as we just explained, since she's a pikachas who may not have married this man, that's why she can't. We don't because of this. Chazal made this elaborate gezeira that any chareshes who's married to a kohen under any circumstances, no matter who she is, no matter who he is, no matter what type of truma we're discussing, should not be allowed to eat truma. We learned further in the Mishnah, the Takanas Chazal of Alamareish HaGozel Shabona. If somebody stole a beam and built it into his home, even though the Torah HaKadosh says V'heshev is a gzela, one has to return what he stole. In order to make it easier, Chazal said, you don't have to return the beam, which would cause you to have to demolish your home. It's enough that you should just return the value of the beam. Tana Bonin says the Gemara Gozma Reish, if somebody stole a beam, Ubana Babira and built it into the home, Beshamaim Mekakeya Kolabira Kula, the halacha is that you have to demolish the entire home, or Machsa Mereish the Bolov, and then return the beam to the owner. Beis Hillel's opinion is, Enloy El Demei Hamereish Bovad, all that he has to do is give the value of the beam, Mishum Takanas Hashavim, because Chazal were concerned that we should encourage people to learn, we should encourage people to do tshuva. So I saw that the Michas Elazar in his Sefer Shai Yisoschar uses this Gemara, this Machloikus Beis Shammai, connecting it to a famous Machloikus, a different situation of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where there was a ger who approached Beis Shammai and said, Lamdeni kala taira kula, teach me an entire taira, a regal achas, that on one foot. And the Gemara said, V'Shammai, when Shammai heard this, dochvay ba'mas habinyan. Shammai pushed him away with the ba'mas habinyan. What does that mean? Beis Shammai's opinion is that we don't make things easy. Just like in our Gemara, Beis Shammai was the one that taught us that we don't just say it's adequate that you should just pay back the value of the beam. That isn't satisfactory. Beis Shammai says you have to demolish the home. There too, Beis Shammai said to the ger, it's not enough that you should just take part of the Torah. If you're not ready to take it all, dochvay, he pushed him away. Beis Hillel Just like we find in our Gemara, Beis Hillel was more tolerant and said that we want to make it easier for this person, and it's enough that he should just pay back the value of the being. There too, Beis Hillel's opinion is that it's enough that you should just pay the just gairaniam, and he told him, ma'adalach sanach l'chavach l'savit, he made it easier for him to become a ger. So we just learned the famous concept of takanas hashavim. We make it easier for a person to do tshuva, and we tell him, pay the value of the beam, you don't have to demolish your home. The question that comes up is, what will be by gzeilas karka? If somebody built his home, common, unfortunately, issue, and he built his home, he extended his home partially into somebody else's property. And now, the person who owns the property says, you built the home on my property, you need to demolish it. You went into my property. And the ganef says, as we just learned in the Mishnah, that I don't need to do so, because the reason I don't have to do so is because we just learned takanas hashavim. The Paiskim discussed this question, and the Ramah in Chayshe Mishpat, Simen Shem Samach, Sif Aleph, says when it comes to somebody stealing property, we don't say the concept of takanas hashavim. And there are many different explanations why. The Ma'abit explains that stealing property is a very serious aveira, and there Chazal did not institute the takanas hashavim. The Levush says that the reason why Chazal were lenient with a takanas hashavim by a beam is because, as we keep on saying in our shir, Chazal wanted to encourage the person to do tshuva. So by telling the person, well, all that tshuva will require of you is that you should give back the value of what you stole, so the person is more likely to give it back. But here, if we're going to tell the person that you should give back what you stole, here you can't hide what you stole. So I'm not worried about the victim discovering what happened, and therefore it's very different. Another explanation explains the Torah, and the Shalmeisha discusses this. There's a concept of karka ein and exelis. Somebody could steal a beam and take ownership of it. Nobody could steal a property without the victim ultimately finding out, and that's why it's different. The Paiskim, the Shalas HaTshuvas Rishmei She'ela, Simen Nunvav, discusses the Taira, where Ruvain says that Shimon built into his property. The victim, Shimon, says that I wasn't here when this extension took place. My wife was here. She didn't know. She also doesn't own the property. And what is the halacha? So he says it depends. What is the reason? We just gave three reasons why by property the halacha we just learned in our Mishnah would not apply. If we're going to say because stealing karka is different than anything else, or we're going to say the reason is because it can't be concealed, or because karka ain't an exelus, so even though it was done b'shoigig, the halacha is that you would have to demolish your home. But according to the Ma'abit, that was stricter by karka because it's a bigger aveira, here it clearly was done by accident. And since it was clearly done by accident, even though it's a bigger aveira, but if it was done by accident, there may be room to not require that the house be demolished. We learned further, Velchatas Gezula, that if somebody stole an animal and brought it as a korban chatas, and nobody knows that this animal, it's not known that this animal is a stolen animal, the halach is that it's going to be accepted, nei tikkun hamizbeach. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula. So Ula explains this halacha. Tva Torah mida raisa, bein noida, bein loy noida, whether people are aware or not aware of the stealing of this animal, enim chaperis, it can't work. My tama, because even if the person who the animal was stolen from doesn't know, it's still yish, and even if he gave up, yish loikani, it doesn't make that it should be considered the property, the owner, under the ownership of the person who stole it. And therefore, he can't use that as a carbon. Because as I sort of Rishonim explained, one explanation to give is the Torah, when it speaks about karbonos, it says karbonoi. The carbon you bring has to belong to you. This carbon doesn't belong to him. Or it's going to be considered, I saw the Rishonim suggest, Taisa suggest, a mitzvah hababa aveira. Ma tam amru loy noy de mechaperis. So why do we learn in our Mishnah that if the victim is not aware, that if nobody knows that this is a stolen animal, we will accept it as a carbon? Shloy kahanim at seivim. We don't want that the kahanim should be upset, because what's going to happen is, if the carbon will be brought, and then the kahanim discover that what they ate wasn't really a kosher carbon, it'll turn out that they'll be upset that they ate chulin that was brought in Dazara. In order to avoid that situation, we let the carbon be considered a good carbon. And of course, the reason it's going to be considered a good carbon, even though it really doesn't belong to the person who stole it, because we'll apply the concept of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Amalei Rabbanan Le'ula. But now, but that's not what our Mishnah said. Our Mishnah said, Memnei Tikkun HaMizbeach Tanan, that the reason we accept the carbon if people aren't aware that it's a stolen animal, the Mishnah gave a very different reason. The Mishnah said, Memnei Tikkun HaMizbeach. Amalehem. It says that's what our Mishnah meant to say. Kivin the Kahanim Mitzavim. If we're going to have such situations and the Kahanim are going to be upset because it'll turn out that they did an Aveira of eating Chulin Bazara, what will happen is Nimtza Mizbeach Batel. Kahanim will not want to bring Kabanis. And since Kahanim will not want to bring Kabanis, that's why we have to create a situation that we won't have such circumstances. I saw a beautiful pshat that the Torah says specifically about Kohanim, Yain v'sheicha al teish, that Kohanim are not allowed to drink wine. Why is the Torah so strict about Kohanim not drinking wine? So the Seif l'kutei bas l'kutei said, because we do everything that the Kohanim should be happy. Why do people drink wine? People sometimes drink wine to get happy. The Kohanim are happy anyway. Rabbi Yehuda has a different approach. Whether this it's known that this animal was stolen or not, it will be a valid carbon. Through yish is considered a valid way that the person becomes the owner of the animal. I saw that the Chassidish Sfarim say yish kani. What does it mean that yish is kana? So the Chassidish Sfarim explained that through yish, a person who experiences yish kani, that's the way the Yetzer Hara is able to prevail over him. If that's the case, why, if the carbon was brought, even though everybody knows the animal was stolen, is it not going to be a valid carbon? Because we don't want to have people saying that the Mizbeach is eating stolen food. Says the Gemara, Bishlam al Ula, according to Ula, we could understand our Mishnah. Hane de Tani Chatos. Since the Kahanim eat from the carbon chatos, and if we're going to discover that this wasn't a valid carbon chatos, as we explained, they're going to be upset. That's why the Mishnah spoke about carbon chatos, to teach us that Chazal said that the carbon will be a kosher carbon. El Rehuda, according to Rehuda, that we're worried that we don't want people should say that the Mizbeach is eating from something which is stolen. My area chatos, why does the Mishnah speak about a chatos? Afilo Oilanami, the Mishnah could have said that the same halacha by an oila, that we don't want that people should say that the Mizbeach is eating karbonos from stolen goods, says the Gemara Lemabai. The way to explain the Mishnah is as follows. Lemabai oil the kolahi. We know that the oil is completely burnt on the Mizbeach. And there for sure we ought to be concerned that people are going to say the Mizbeach is eating from stolen goods. Allah fil chatas nami. The chalev of dam hu the solak, that only the chalev and the dam of the carbon is put on the mizbeach. V'idach, the rest of the carbon kayanim achlelei, afilach gazer, shelo yom mizbeach eich gzeilus. Even though Chazal made the rule in all types of kabonis. So the Rashba says, what's the difference? If there's a concern, Why is it more concerned by Oila than by Chatas? Of people saying, people, the Mizbech is Oichel Gzeilus. So the Rashba explains that, as we just said, as the Gemara just said, by a chatos, the only part that's put on the mizbeach is chelev v'dam. So that's not that significant. But by the carbon oil, the whole animal is put on it. So the Gemara is teaching us that not only when the entire animal is a stolen animal, that's where we say that we don't want people to say that the mizbeach is eating stolen goods, but even when the mizbeach is just eating insignificant part of the carbon, the chelev and dam, we need to be concerned what people will say about the mizbeach. Ask the Gemara in the opinion of Yehuda. Tanan, achatas gzula shloi noid l'rabim shechaperes. The Mishnah says that if people don't know, the carbon is acceptable and they tikkun oil, tikkun mizbeach. Bishlama ula nicha, because we made up that it should work because we had the reason of the kahanim. Eler of Yehuda, according to Yehuda, that it always works. And only Chazal, because Yish is Koina. There's a new rule that Chazal instituted that if it's Noidef, everybody knows that this animal was stolen, we shouldn't use it. So ask the Gemara, if Chami Baile, the Mishnah should have said just the opposite, that an animal that everybody knows was stolen, even though it ought to be effective, Chazal made a new rule because of Tikkun HaMizbeach, because of what people will say, that it won't work. And it says, Gemara, exactly that's what it means. That's exactly what the Mishnah means to say, according to Yehuda. Loi noid mechaperes, if we don't know that the animal's stolen, so the animal works. Noida, if it's known that this is a stolen animal, enem mechaperes, we won't allow it to be used. Nei Tikkun HaMizbeach, because we're worried what people will say. Masav Rava, now Rava asks a question on Ula. Ula said that the reason it doesn't work is because he holds Yish, just Yish alone, ain't a koina. Masav Rava, the Mishnah Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Dalar Mabez teaches us, Gonaf V'Higdish, if somebody stole an animal, and then he was Magdish for carbon, V'akach Tov V'Mocher, and then he shechted it or sold it. Mishalam Teshtumei Kefal, he has to pay Kefal for stealing it, the Torah Kedoshah teaches us in Parashas Mishpatim that if somebody not just stole an animal, but he sold it or slaughtered it, he has to pay the dal v'hei. But this halacha wouldn't apply over here because these halachas speak about when you stole from an individual. As the Pasuk says, Asher Yoshim Elohim Yishalim L'Re'ehu. And this is not Re'ehu, it's Hegdish. B'tanei lo b'chutz, if somebody would have done this not in the Beis HaMikdash, K'gavna, Onus Karish. If he brought such an animal outside the base in the Azara, he would be Chayiv Karish for Kotshim b'chutz. V'yamer Yish K'di lo kana, if we're going to say that just because the Gazlan took the animal doesn't make it his, so the animal is still Hegdish. If the animal is Hegdish, Karas my avidite, why should the person who took it be chayiv? It's not an animal that could be brought as a carbon. This person can't bring this animal as a carbon, for he is not the owner of the animal, and there's no chiyiv for kachin b'chutz if you could not have brought it b'fnim. Amar Rav Shesbi, what it means, karas me devrayim. Achikula, so the B'nai Yeshiva heard this and they sort of didn't understand. Karas medevrei miyika. Karas means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides, unfortunately, to give this person karas. The Rabbanon can't make karas. Amalei Rava, so Rava said to them, Gavar Rava Amar Milsa, a great person said something, Loi techukala, don't laugh. Karas ayidei devaram basala. It doesn't mean that Chazal give him karas. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give karas. They did an aveirav, which comes with the punishment of karas medrabbanon. Because Ukmer Rabbanu Brishu say, Chazal consider it as if it's his, again, as Rashi says, through the principle of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, and therefore, since it's his, and if he would have brought, it's his to the degree that it should be Chayiv Kotchen Bechot, Kechid Bechayiv Allah. Amar Rava, Hov Adi Kam B'Bailai, but I do have the following question. Ki Ukmer Rabbanu Brishu say, at what point did the Chazal say that the person who stole the animal was his kachim, it's considered as if it belongs to the Gazlans. Is it Mishasik Neivah from the time that he stole it, or Mishasik Deisha when the time he was Magdish it? Ask the Gemara, Lamayin Afkamina. At both, we're saying now that the Midrabanon, it's considered Hegdish. Answers the Gemara, L'gizavila Deseha. Any, if babies were born, or wool, from the time of Gezela until it was Hegdish. If we say that it became his from the time of the Gezela, so then the halacha is that the wool and the children would belong to the Gazlan. Otherwise, it would not belong to the Gazlan because it wasn't his until he was Magdashit. Ask the Ramai, what is the halacha? Hadam Rava, then Rava said, Mestaber Mishasak Desha. It makes sense to say that from the time he is Magdashit, only at that point does it become his, does it become the Gazlan's, not earlier. Because as we just explained, if we're going to say that it becomes his from the time of the Gzela, lo yechayt nisker, what's going to happen is that the person who stole will benefit by having stolen. Why will he benefit by having stolen? Because we just learned that the wool and the children will become his. Says the Gemara, begins the Mishnah. In the time of the Bayis Sheni, towards the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Romans started conquering Eretz Yisrael, and the Romans believed that Yehuda was the one that killed Esav. As the pasuk says, Yehuda ati yeducha achecha, yotcha ba'ayrev oivecha. And therefore, what they were very angry at Shevet Yehuda, who were living in Eretz Yisrael, and what people who lived in Eretz Yisrael would do in order to protect themselves, was that they would give their property to the Romans. The person that they would give the property to was called a Sukrikin. He would say, which stands for Sar Karkazer, take this property, Venichuni, and leave me alone. And the discussion that we're going to have in our Mishnah now, is what does the property become the property of the Sukrikin? And the question is, if the property becomes the property of the Sukrikin, so then if you buy it from them, is it considered that you bought it from somebody? You did a valid deal? Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Lohayu Sukrikin Behuda Bekur Uge Chama. In the time of Titus, where Goyim were killing Jews, the halacha was that it's not considered a time of Sukrikim. That's considered a time that if you buy something, if you buy a property that was confiscated by the Romans, it's considered as you bought it legitimately. They were considered the owner of all the property. Me haruga emacham of Eilech, at the point when that stopped, when they weren't just killing Jews, then the halacha of Sukrikin kicks in. So as we said, the reason they were still acting this way was because they believed that Yehuda killed Esav. The Yarish Devash asks, but the Gemara Masechta Baba Basra, the Kuf Chof Gimel Amabei says, Ein Zara Shel Esav, Neiflum El Biad Neirachel, that they will only fall in the hands of Rachel's children. So why were they angry at Yehuda? So the Yarish Devash answers that Esav himself fell into Yehuda. It was his children. But that doesn't make any sense either, asked the Yarish Devash. Just like Esav fell in the hands of Yehuda, knows why is children different? So he answers that the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says Timna Haisa Bas Melech. Timna was the daughter of kings. Ubikshali Dovek Bizarre Shel Avram, but she only wanted to marry into Avram's descendants, and none of Yitzchak's family would certainly marry her. So she became a Pelegish to Esav, and she didn't care that she was only a Pelegish, because she realized that it's worth marrying into the family of Esav, of Avram Avinu. So we see that the children of Esav are different. Children of Esav are different than Esav himself, because their mother Timnah showed that she was willing to give up something she deserved. So she was willing to give up her prestigious position just to marry into the family of Ram. Who else do we find had that midah of being willing to give up something that they deserved? Rachel. Rachel was the one that Yaakov Avinu was supposed to marry Rachel. And instead of marrying Rachel, he married Leah. And Rachel was very much part of, complicit in that. And Rachel did it just to be mevater, to give up to Leah. So the children of Esav, explained the Yaros Devash, have a very special schus. The special schus that they have is the schus that they come from somebody who was mevater, somebody who gave up. And therefore, they deserve special treatment. That's why they can only fall into the hands of Rachel. Ketzad. So what is the din of a sekrikin? Lokach misekrikin. If somebody bought property from a sekrikin, then he bought the property from the true owner, the lokach mechabotel. He could say that the only reason I agreed to the sale was only because I knew that if the sekrikin finds out that I'm not agreeing, my situation will be very dangerous. But if it went in the opposite direction, where he bought it first from the balabayas, the chaza v'lokach min hasekrikin, so at that point the balabayas did not have to sell it to him. And since he sold it to him, that's why mekakayim. As we've learned many times, when one writes a ksuba to his wife, in the ksuba he writes, Kol nechasa achrayim l'ksubasayim. Everybody, all of my assets are mortgaged for your ksuba. And what happens here is, let's say somebody wants to buy property from the husband, and he buys property from the husband, but he knows there's a mortgage. So he goes to the wife to give up her right. Lokach manish, if he bought the property from the wife, and then from the husband, and then because of a lokach manisha, he bought from her that she will never have the right to put a lien on that property, mechabotel. For here too we say that the reason he said it is because she could say, nachas ruach asisi labali. But if it was in the other, it was in the reverse, meisha v'chazav lokach manish, first he bought from the wife and then from the husband, then mechakayim. Because she can't say, I wanted to do a favor to my husband, that the transaction he did should be keep valid. So the Shalah, based on this Mishnah, says, the Pasuk says, Kosoim l'beis Yaakov, v'sagid l'bnei Yisrael, beis Yaakov eil ha-noshim. Why did they first, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu go to the women before he went to the men? So he explains, our Mishnah is the explanation. Because in our Mishnah we learned that if first you go to the man, and then you go to the wife could say, I only agree because of Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali. So that's why they went specifically to the husband first. By going to the husband first, going to the wife first, she can't make that claim. And once she can't make the claim, then the deal is considered a valid. Mishnah Rishonah says the Gemara. Everything that we just learned, that if somebody buys from the Sekrikin, the deal is invalid, is the Mishnah Rishonah. However, says the Mishnah Bezdin Achrayim Amru, the later Bezdin Institute Alakeach the Sekrikin. If you buy something from the Sekrikin, Nois Labala Revia. You give the husband a quarter, you give the owner a husband a quarter of the value, and therefore, and that makes the deal a fine deal. Says the Mishnah, when was this rule instituted? Emes by Bzman She'en Biyodin Likach. When the original owners don't have the ability to buy back the property themselves. Aliyesh ben Yodim Likach, if they have the financial ability to buy back the property, they harein koimel kol adam, they have the right to buy back the property. They have first rights. Rabbi Hoshe Bezdin v'Nimnu, Shem Shasov v'Fnei Sekrikim Shnei Masach Chodesh. But how long does that go on? So he says that for 12 months. And then for the first 12 months, that's when the owners have Kadima. Kol ha'yukaydim likach zaka. But after the 12 months are up, whoever is first gets the share, it has a right to buy it. However, says the Mishnah, at that point, the still the halach is that if you did so, you would have to give the owner a revia, a quarter of the of what you paid. Says the Gemara, hashta harugim mecham alayah by sakrikin. If, ask the Gemara, that we're learning in the time of harugim mecham, there is no din of sakrikim. Harugim mecham v'ayolech, there is a din of sakrikim. Says the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda, what the Mishnah means to say, lo hayu sakrikim b'Yehuda b'harugim mecham, lo donu bezdin sakrikim kamar. But the Mishnah says is at that time that we didn't say that if you buy property from sakrikin, the sale is invalid. But if you buy something from the sakrikin, it's considered like a full-fledged sale, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, because at that point, people gave up on the fields. Domer of Asi, Sholosh Gzeres Gazru. There were three different periods. Gzeret Kamaisa, called Loikotel, that Titus instituted, any Roman that sees a Jew and doesn't kill him, Lekitlua, that Roman should be killed. Mitziasa, the next phase, was called the Kotel, any Roman that kills a Jew, Laisi Arba Zuzim, he just should pay a fine of 4 Zuzim. Besraisa, the last phase, was called the Kotel Lekitlua, if a Roman kills a Jew, he should be get killed. Hilkach, Kamaisa Mitziasa, during the first and second period, Kiva the Katli, the Romans were just indiscriminately killing Jews. So when a Roman comes to take from a Jew his property, he's quick to give up his property because he knows that he's in very big trouble and he just gives it away. But in the last period, Amri Hidna Lishko, today he could take the property. But they were not just discriminating against Jews so strongly, and therefore he didn't mean to give it to the Sakrikin. Amar Rav Yochanan Maidik Siv Ashri Odom Mefachet Tamed or Makshal Libay Yipol Bara. A person should always be concerned. A person has to always be concerned what are the repercussions of what he's learning, or what he's doing. So, of course, Tosfos quotes, in Tosfos Dvar Maaskal Ashrei, quotes the Gemara Masechet Brachos, that there are different types of fear. There's a type of fear that somebody forget his learning, and he's constantly reviewing what he's learning. That's great. But if a person just is scared, that's not a healthy situation. On the contrary, the Gemara says that somebody who lives in fear and with phobias, it's very unhealthy. And that's what the Gemara means to say, Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid, if a person is in fear, he's in fear about Ruchnius, he's in fear about where is he standing in Avodas Hashem, that's where we say, Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid, that a person constantly is in fear. And in fact, I saw that the Chashuk Echemen has an interesting question. Somebody was in the middle of davening, and instead of about to daven, and somebody who he's afraid of approached him, and because he's afraid of this person, he did whatever that person wanted, and he forgot to daven. And the question is, we know that if somebody misses a tefillah, ba'oinus, he can make up the next tefillah. But the question here is this considered a legitimate oinus? And he paskins that since our Gemara says Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid, so seeing that having fear is a legitimate a reaction of a person, that's considered a oinus. And he then has a discussion if there's a woman who is pregnant and she's very concerned and she wants the doctor to do a cesarean to help her deliver a baby, even though the doctor says it's not necessary. And the question is even more complicated, may it be done on Shabbos? So Rav Zilberstein says he discussed this with his father-in-law, Rav Eliyosha Zatzal, and the question was, is she allowed to do this operation, even though one should not be doing an operation. Operation represents chavala. Operation represents doing damage to one's body. Is one allowed to do such an operation when it's not necessarily, it's chavala? But he says, since this person that we just discussed is scared, and scared, Al Gemara says, is a legitimate feeling. And therefore, the halacha is that she could have the cesarean even though the doctor doesn't feel it's necessary. Of course, if the doctor feels that not just that it's not necessary, but if the doctor feels that it could harm her, he wouldn't be allowed to do it. And he also says that the halacha is that one would not be allowed to do this operation on Shabbos if it's not medically required. The other discussion, he says, is, well, you have this woman who wants to have the cesarean out of fear, but the issue that comes up is that the baby we know is a boy, and the boy would be a bechor and would have the mitzvah pinyan haben. The father would have the mitzvah pinyan haben. But now, by the woman having cesarean, we know a child that's born through cesarean does not have a pinyan haben. Could the father say, well, medically you don't have to have a pinyan haben, so let's not, medically you don't have to have the cesarean, let's not have it, because I want to be able to perform the mitzvah of pinyan haben. So he says that, and the wife still wants to have the cesarean, there he says that the husband would prevail, and we would actually not do the cesarean if it's not medically required, in order that the father should be able to perform the mitzvah of pinyan haben.